Hello and welcome to Sports Debate. I'm your host, Dr. John Mills, and today we are debating whether England will win the 2020 European Championships. Arguing that England will win the Euros is Tristan McLaughlin and Henry Titley Wall. And those arguing against it are Dr. Fergus Guppy and Jay Mathams. Okay, gents, we are going to start, as we always do with these things, by tossing a coin. Ferg, you can give me your heads or tails, as you haven't had a go at this yet. And if you select correctly, you can decide whether your team goes first or second. And I actually have a coin this week. I'm not making it up. Here we are.
Okay, we'll go heads.
Everybody always does. I'm not sure if you can see this on the camera, but it's definitely tails.
It's all right. It makes it easier. I don't have to make a decision.
Okay. Trist, would you like your team to go first or second?
Yeah, we'll go first, please.
Okie dokie. So, over to you to make your opening argument around why England will win the European Championships.
So, to get us started, I think the most important thing about a team winning or being able to win a European Championships or any large international championships is optimism, hope and support, and also luck and quality. But I think first and foremost, you need the support, you need the backing, and you need the underlying and undesirable love from a fan base. And I think England has significantly lacked that over a number of years, with fans being incredibly critical of the England team, putting a lot of pressure on them and making it pretty much impossible for players to play without fear and to perform as they are able to and as they are expected to. And I think first and foremost, that is my caveat, that England won't win the tournament if we do not get behind them, and they are not supported by media and supported by a strong fan base, regardless of their quality. I think this time round, we do have the quality as well in certain areas. I think in terms of a forwards, in terms of chances created and the amount and the quality of the players we have on the pitch in the forward areas, I think we've probably got a talent pool that has produced more chances for the majority throughout the whole of Europe. I think we've got some exciting players, like Jack Grealish is the most foul player in the whole of Europe, that kind of thing. You've got Phil Foden that is exceptional in between the lines and technically gifted and can create and score goals. You've got a nice balance of pace in behind with Rashford and players like Sancho who can create goal scoring opportunities. And then you've got one of the best strikers in the world in Harry Kane that's proved it year on year in terms of goal scoring ability. Where it is questionable, and where I will, where there is kind of cause for concern, is yes, around defensive areas where we're not as stable, perhaps not as sturdy. We are missing some perhaps key players, or they're not fully fit. But that's where the fan base comes in. That's where the quality of getting behind the England team, showing support, and actually not being too overcritical and being a good fan. I think when you speak to fans across other nations, there's more optimism. There is more, well, we'll give it a go. Like, we will hope. There's more of a realism. There's an understanding and more of a realism in their approach to supporting their nation. I hear a lot of people going, oh, I'm not supporting England anymore. I just support my club. Terrible, terrible idea. Terrible. And that's where we've kind of got to as a fan base. And I think we do have the quality. When you look back at teams that have won the Euros before, you'll look at teams that don't necessarily have quality all throughout the pitch. You don't necessarily have players who are the top end of elite in defence and in attack. But there's a balance, there's a collectiveness, there's a desire there, and there's a backing from fans. Yes, there are teams in there that are probably stronger than us all over the pitch. You've got France, you've got Portugal, potentially Italy. My teammate is throwing in a suggestion there in terms of Greece. Denmark won it. These are teams that have good backing. Look at Iceland when they performed in the World Cup. They've got good fan bases, and that gets people through it. And I think that's my main argument, in the sense of we have a good enough team to win it, and the 12th man is the support from the nation.
Excellent, thanks, Henry. Ferguson J.
Excellent points, Henry, which I agree with to some extent. So the reason why Fergus and I don't think that England will particularly win, I mean, we hope they do, of course. As much as I love the man, and he's a fantastic role model, some of the press conferences and some of the written pieces he's released this week. Gareth Southgate, he's a fantastic manager, fantastic leader. But unfortunately, I just don't think he's got enough tactical acumen against some of the better coaches in the tournament to really make the decisive choices or changes in a game which will really allow us to maximize the type of players we've got. So even watching England, I mean, even since the 2018 World Cup, it kind of has got more and more boring for me watching England. And I think, how can it be boring when we've got Grealish coming into the fold? We've got Sterling, we've got Sancho, we've got Foden, we've got people like Mason Mount coming to the fore, Bellingham coming in. How can it be boring to watch these players? Surely, if we and Rashford, people like that, and even Greenwood to an extent. Watching the games recently, it's just how are these guys not performing when we've got such an amazing collection of players going forward, especially, and even our fullbacks. And I think for me, that is the only thing that I'm concerned about in regards to Southgate and whether he can really make a really fluid and cohesive team. It might be that that's exactly what happens, and I hope it is, but I haven't seen enough to say that it will at the moment. My second point is it's just the goalkeeper and the defence. I mean, you look at, we're going to be missing Maguire. Stones has come into form recently, but we're probably going to be looking at a new partner for Stones. Could be Ben White, could be Tyrone Mings. We've got two potentially new fullbacks coming into play with Reece James and Ben Chilwell, who are fantastic players, but they are obviously, there's no real partnerships between the players on the inside of them. And Jordan Pickford, I mean, a lot of England fans do really, really like it. Do really like him, but he's temperament, and he gets over involved in games. I think he loses his emotional. His emotions can run away with him, and his emotional regulation is a bit of a worry for me. And whilst we love to see Jordan Pickford punching the badge and punching himself in the face and doing whatever he wants to do, it's a bit too much for me. Even when he's steaming out for crosses and bits and bobs like that, I just have a I really worry for him that he's going to make a massive mistake and he's going to be the next scapegoat, which is probably what's going to happen. My last point from a physical point of view is that the England national team have played the most minutes out of any squad in the championship this year. Heard it on another pod. I think it was the Athletics England show, actually. And whilst we all say, oh, England players, brilliant, they're playing loads of minutes, they're getting loads of top flight football, that's only because the Premier League have only allowed three subs, whereas on the continent they've had five subs. So you look at some of our players like Mount, he looked very tired. But we'll see. I mean, I think there is a chance we can win it, but I just don't think we've got enough collectively to see. But we shall see.
Thanks, Jay. Okay, we'll take a quick break there, and when we come back, we will cross-examine each other's arguments and get into the nuances of this discussion. Hello, I just wanted to take a quick moment to thank you for tuning into this episode and to mention a couple of ways you can get in touch with us. The first is through our website, which is www.awfullygood.org/sports-debate. I'll say that again because I appreciate it was quite long. www.awfullygood.org/sports-debate. You can also contact us via our Twitter account, which is sportsdebatepod. And we really, really appreciate any feedback, any comments you've got for us or any questions. If you like the podcast, please subscribe via whichever platform you use to subscribe to podcasts. And if you can leave feedback, that is great too, because it helps other people to find us. Right, let's get back to the episode. Okay, welcome back. So I think Henry and Jay made some good arguments, maybe not all of the arguments I was necessarily expecting. I was certain, for example, that Jay was going to point out the fact that there are some really good teams in the Euros, the likes of France and Portugal and people like that, and that perhaps they're slightly further along than the England team is currently. But maybe we'll get into some of those nuances around these discussions. So first and foremost, Tristan Henry, would you like to come back on Jay and Fergus around any of the points? Well, Tristan specifically, would you like to come back on any of the points that Jay has made so far?
Yeah, well, isn't it exciting that we're even discussing that England could win? Crikey. Jay mentioned that it's been quite boring to watch us play. I think it's been boring to watch England play since 1996, and that didn't end in success either. I still remember that fourth goal against the Dutch and the goal against Scotland for Gascoigne. I don't know that the World Cup was particularly exciting. The goals were so rare that we get excited when they go in, but that's pretty much it. So I think boring is right in our wheelhouse. I think that you make a good point about Southgate. I think that he's come across really well. Tactically, it'll be interesting how he does. The interesting thing for me with England, and if they can win, is that he now has better options, I think, than in any squad we've had in the past. So the biggest thing for him will be his decision-making. When he looks at the bench, who he puts on, because he's got choices everywhere, maybe less in defence, but actually, if you're trying to win the game, the attacking ones will be the options that he needs. And whatever he starts with, he'll have a number of players who have either just won the Champions League or the Premier League to come on. And he's got to get that right. And that's the bit where he needs to be clear when he's under pressure that his job, this is his job. And I think that's a much better problem to have than, you know, Sven taking a 15-year-old Theo Walcott, or however ridiculously young he was for experience, or an injured Wayne Rooney. And actually, you know, apart from Henderson and Maguire, we don't really have that many injuries coming in either. We don't have anyone in the team that you think, well, they got in because he's loyal to them. I think he picked people that were the best players and playing the best at the time. So I agree that I think a lot of it will come to game management. And I agree about the tactics. I don't know enough about football to know tactically his strengths and weaknesses. But the other thing that he's got, which in the past I don't think we've had, when we had that golden generation at the beginning of the 21st century, we were playing 4-4-2 every game. And we were trying to play one of the best midfielders in the Premier League history in Paul Scholes on the left wing. And we played Gerrard and Lampard together. It didn't work because neither of them wanted to sit back and defend. So whereas I think actually we now have, he can play three at the back, wing backs, he can play four at the back, he can play three up front, two up front, he can do whatever he wants. And that, again, I'd say that's a much better problem to have than we've had in the past, where we're trying to shoehorn people in. So I think I think it's exciting we're talking about it. I also would say we have a team full of people that know how to win. So Gareth Southgate doesn't know how to win, but we have players that know how to win. They know how to win the Champions League. They know how to win the Premier League. And that's across a lot of the squad now. So I think that they know what it takes to be successful. And I think that's different from the past. Obviously, we've always had players that have won the Premier League, but the Champions League less so. And we've had a lot of teams that have won that from England in the past few years.
Ferg, Jay, do you want to come back on any of those points?
Yeah, I disagree that we've got that good of players. Like, I generally think there's maybe three, maybe four England players who get in France's squad, get in Italy's squad, get in Portugal's squad.
Go on, then. I think we need some names to back that up.
Is that squad or starting lineup?
Well, starting lineup, I think only one player gets in the starting lineup for most of them, and that's Harry Kane. Squad wise, I think Phil Foden would get in any squad in Europe. And I think, being maybe a bit of West Ham bias here, but I think Declan Rice would. But beyond that, I don't think we're that good. Like, I genuinely can't see us winning. Like Jay said, I'd love for us to win it. Like, I'll watch most of the games. Harry Kane's the only one.
Mason Mount?
No, don't think he gets in. Like, I think we've got this Premier League bias coming through again, that we got the best players in the world playing in the Premier League. We do, but not many of them are English. Like, I generally don't see us winning it because I don't think we're good enough.
To counter that argument, to jump in, that the two finalists of the Champions League this year were both English teams. I know that maybe not... that there wasn't perhaps so many English players in the in those teams.
Stones, Walker, yeah. Foden.
Yeah, but if you look at Man City, the reason why they do well is because they've bought top quality European imports to play alongside them. Mm. Like, Man City don't get to the Champions League final if they don't go and buy a world-class centre-back last summer.
But that's the same for everybody, Chelsea, right? Everybody's like
that.
Yeah,
but though. we haven't got those players. I think that genuinely we're not that good. Like, and this comes back to the idea and that we think it happens every 2 years. Like, every 2 years we have these discussions around, oh, we can win it. Like, we're not good enough. Like, I just don't see we're going to win it.
Were Greece good enough?
How many world-class players did Greece have? Or Denmark?
Were they good
enough? Yeah, I think we're talking about a different era now. Like, I can't see another Greece.
Didn't Portugal win the last Euros?
And Ronaldo was on the side on crutches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but they've got much better players than we have.
Who? Name
them. Well, I think that I just don't think that we're good enough to win it.
Joao Moutinho, is he better than Declan Rice?
Well, never been.
I'm going to dig Fergus out of this hole give Fergus and Jay the opportunity to come back at Henry and Trist's team about any of the points that they raised in their opening argument. Keep it friendly, gentlemen, as well. I saw Tristan eating Watsits earlier, trying to put the other team off with his disgusting reconstituted potato crisp things.
Sorry, that's not mind games. That's a habit. Sorry.
Just eating Watsits at 10 in the morning. So, I mean, obviously I'm with Fergus on the Premier League bias. I think our squad is very good. But like you say, every time a tournament comes round, every tournament, we're like, even if we're crap, we're like, oh, we're going to win it. We're going to be amazing. We're going to win 5-0. Like, and then everyone's like pumping their chest and like drinking beer, and it's great. But I think we are a little bit biased. And look, in the first game on Sunday, we're coming up against a midfield of Brozovic and Modric, who are albeit getting on a little bit in Modric's case, but they're still quality players. And we're probably going to have Rice and Phillips in there, which they've got a hell of a job on their hands. So my worry is that the argument you guys put across was that there's not much pressure. There's always pressure. And like, we always expect our team to win, whether they're actually good or not. And now we've got a group of young players who have just started winning in some case, which has just amplified the pressure and the national expectation massively. So if someone misplaces a pass and the crowd are going to start getting on their back because they think, oh, we should be steamrolling in Croatia 3-0 when they beat us in the semi-final of a World Cup. And I know they're on the way down.
That was my argument, that we shouldn't do that. My argument was that we put too much pressure on the England team and that we should support them outright.
But that's not going to happen, is it? I think it's just the reality of the situation.
Therefore, then we might not win it. But if we did, I'm saying that we can win it if we do that.
It would be amazing if we did that.
So what you're both saying is that the government should change their mind and bring up the Delta variant and say, sorry, everyone, you're not allowed in the stadiums after all, because that's going to mean England will win. We've seen, obviously, with West Ham over this year, yeah. West Ham fans are pretty similar to England fans, I would say. Actually, by removing the fans from the stadium, it seems to have had quite a positive impact on performance.
Interested looking at the slightly different sport, but looking at the test match, obviously, day one yesterday at Edgbaston, like, England didn't do very well for quite long periods of that game. But because the fans just wanted to be there, actually the atmosphere was great and there wasn't that negativity. And so I wonder whether actually having the fans back in the stadiums where they've been gone for so long, actually that we may not have them getting on the players' backs, because it may be just become this little bit more party atmosphere because people are just back in the stadiums. But like I sort of get the point around optimism, but I think what I want to see is some realism from some of the fans. Like, you speak to people in the pub, oh, we're going to win it, we're the best team in the world. It's like, I think we've got to have some expectation management. Like, we were pretty average in getting to the semi-final of the World Cup. Like, it was not a very good World Cup in terms of quality. Like, we've not got a defence, and I know we've got a lot of attacking options, but our defence is ropey. Like, two of our three goalkeepers got relegated from the Premier League this year. Like,
yeah. Johnston, yeah.
No, one of the three, sorry. The guy from West Brom. Yeah. Like, for me, we got some rank average centre-backs. Like, I don't even think Harry Maguire, when he's fit, is great. Like
it's £110 million worth of centre-backs there, though. John Stones was £50 million and Harry Maguire was £60, if I remember rightly. So,
yeah, I don't see us being defensively good enough against the sides that we're not going to be able to break down.
I think another point as well that I'll put to you guys, we could win all our group games and everyone will be buzzing. But then if we win the group, then we could potentially come up against a France or a Portugal or a Germany in the next round. So for me, that's worrying.
But Germany aren't doing very well either at the moment, are they? Germany are struggling though as well, aren't they? With Joachim Löw, yeah, they're not exactly...
Against England... they'll probably rock up and be Germany circa last World Cup. So
there is that.
And Germany know how to win major tournaments. Like, we've gone through this cycle. Like, I remember 96. I was at Wembley when Gazza scored that goal. And, like, the atmosphere was amazing. I was 10 years old. But, like, I can't see us... Do you mean I just worry that we get this deluded cycle of fans who just believe we're going to win regardless. Like, it's coming home. Like, it drives me up the wall. Like, to the point where sometimes I don't like going to the pub to watch the games because those deluded fans who are just like, oh, it's fate. We're going to win it. We're the best team. Blah, 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 blah. I just find it so infuriating.
And then when Trippier wraps one in the top corner from a free kick at the semi-final, you're one of them, aren't you? Straight away. Same as we all are.
Watching at home, man.
Yeah. Trist?
I think there's two different arguments there. I don't know that anyone is claiming here that England have got the best team. But I think that we're talking about their chances of winning. In terms of the luck of the draw, if they win their group games, they'll draw against France, Germany or Portugal, I think one of those. That if we're talking about them trying to win, they've got to play those teams anyway. So the part of the reason why we made it so far in the World Cup is that we had a relatively easy side of the draw when things were shaken up after the groups. And so if we're talking about England winning it, I don't think that we need to be afraid of competing against those people, because that's what we're there to do. We're not there to sneak in and try and get as far as we can. We're talking about them winning it. And to win it, you need a bit of luck, but also you need quality. And so it's up to those players to demonstrate. You know, Declan Rice will need to demonstrate, if we play France, that he's an equal to N'Golo Kante. That's on him. He's going to have to step up and do that. And that's the same for, you know, John Stones is going to have to show that he's a good enough player that he can man mark Benzema out of the game. But that's how you win these games. And if we're not good enough, then we won't be good enough in the second round against France or the final against France. It doesn't matter when we play them. But if we're talking about winning the whole thing, we're going to have to beat every team that we play anyway. So it doesn't, I'm not afraid of the draw. You've got players in front of you, but the players have got to step up. And I think that we've got the quality in the squad, as we've said, in terms of the starting lineup, maybe not as much. But I don't know that I'm deluded sitting here thinking we'll win it and it'll be easy. But I think with a bit of luck and a bit of quality, these tight margins, and my suggestion would be that England are good enough that the tight margins, they're good enough that they might make it, as opposed to previously, we're not good enough. Even with the tight margins,
I think
we're not.
We have a bias looking at our players in a similar way to other countries have a bias when they look at their own players, in the sense of we're overcritical, we analyse them a bit too much, we think they should be doing other things. That's based on football, that's opinion based, and that's the reason why football is such a much loved sport. I think when you look at facts and you look at kind of you look at it without an element of bias, you get down to the nitty-gritty of, okay, these players are competing with each other week in, week out in their own leagues. John Stones has played a majority of the season for Man City in a team that have dominated the Premier League and got to a Champions League final, which perhaps didn't go in their favour, but were going into that as favourites. And no one really has questioned him so far until he's got to the England team, and then he's questioned left, right and centre. Exactly the same for players like Kieran Trippier, who has won La Liga this season. It's a phenomenal player. His dead ball set piece ability is second to none. You've got Maguire, exactly the same thing. Often at times has held Manchester United on his shoulders throughout the season. You, as individuals, they're nothing. As a team, they can be everything and they can be anything. It's the same as Paul Pogba gets a ridiculous amount of stick when he's at Manchester United for being this player that is supposed that does too much. He's in defence, he's in attack, everyone wants him to do one thing and just do it well. Just assist, just pass the ball, just score goals. But in France, he does absolutely everything and he is adored and he is loved. When he gives the ball away in his own half, he's loved because he's tried to do something and he's at least put... he's tried to do something. If a England player gives the ball away in his own half, he is jeered and he's lambasted and it's terrible. Or, oh, he passes sideways. And then you've got Kante passes sideways. You don't necessarily get those negative connotations. I think it's part and parcel of the style of football English fans have grown up with and what they expect and what they want. And I think as a team, they can come together. You can have 11 individuals, or you can have a strong team. Whether...
What, the Players' Tribune one?
I'll just finish this up and just say...
I thought it was brilliant.
There's no evidence to suggest that Southgate isn't tactically aware and not tactically able to. The only thing is potentially that he's not a winner because he's not necessarily won something. But you could say that for pretty much majority of international coaches out there. But when they're with their teams, players are winners.
Thanks very much, Henry. I'm going to call that to a close there, and we'll take a quick break, and then we come back. When we come back, I will give a quick summary And if there's any other quick points we want to try and squeeze in, then we can do there. Welcome back. Thanks for sticking with us through this discussion. If you've got to this point in the episode, I think that there has been some really strong arguments made on both sides, actually. There's definitely been some passion, and there's definitely been some long-term disappointment that's kind of bled out of people at different points in this conversation. I think that the criticisms around the England team are definitely justified. I think I wholly agree that the defence is shaky, even with everybody fit and the best team available to us. I still don't think our defence is that strong. I don't think it's terrible, but I do worry about when we come up against a France, for example, that are going to be putting high pressure on us, and we are having to sit back and defend for periods. Whether our defence can withstand that and play our football through that kind of pressure, I don't think that we will struggle against some teams. I think if we can be on the front foot and we can be pressing and imposing ourselves on teams, then we're a better team if we're doing that than if we are trying to defend, let's put it that way. I also completely take the point about Gareth Southgate's inexperience. The only caveat I would say to that is I think he's learned lessons from the previous competitions that he's been involved in. The shape of the squad certainly looks different. He's certainly got more options around tactical variation than in previous years. He didn't really look like he knew what to do if plan A wasn't working. There didn't really seem to be a plan B. Whether he's got the flexibility to actually adapt to the situation that's in front of him, or whether we now just have plan A and plan B, and if neither of those work, then that's kind of the two options. That I still think is a slight question mark, but I do think a lot of this, I think Tristan mentioned this, a lot of these decisions often come from the players solving the problems on the pitch, and I do think we have some exceptionally talented players, and I do think we have leaders in that team as well. And in somebody like Harry Kane, I would say we've probably got somebody who's in the top five strikers in the world. And I wholly agree with the points that he would pretty much walk into any team in this competition. So this is the point where I have to say which team I'm siding with. I think that I think that it hurts being an England fan. and I think you have to be resilient being an England fan. Fortunately for me, I'm a West Ham fan, so I'm pretty well versed in disappointment. But I don't know whether it's just this season on the back of the optimism that's come through watching my club team actually perform miracles, to believing that actually I think that maybe the national team could do the same. I certainly don't think there is any team other than maybe France which scares me in the same way that Spain did a few years back. I can see England getting to the final. I don't think we will win, but I think we'll get to the final or have a chance of getting to the final, certainly. So I would love to say that I think England will win. The optimist in me is saying that I think we will win. But actually, I think that we will probably get to the final and be our typical glorious loser role that we've played for the last 36 years of my existence. So on this occasion, I'm going to side with Jay and Fergus, even though it is the depressing, realistic position. I really do hope that's not the case, and that we can ride that crest of the wave around optimism. And I do hope that I kind of teased you all there in one way or another. I saw Tristan and Henry thinking, yes, it's us. And I saw Jay and Fergus thinking, no, it's going to be us. And on that note, thank you very much, gentlemen. And fingers crossed, it is going to come home. All right. See you all soon. Cheers.